Here's an audio test for microphone number one between the Lynchburg Hillcats and the Salem Red Sox. Deep drive in the left field. This baseball is gone. Here's an audio test on microphone number two. Here's another audio test on microphone number one with a deep drive to right field, and this baseball is gone. We welcome you inside Salem Memorial Ballpark on this hot Saturday night as the Salem Red Sox and the Lynchburg Hillcats will play for the 23rd time this year. 11 wins for the Red Sox, 11 wins for the Hillcats. It's been an even season series all year long, and we're in store for another competitive battle tonight. It's the 44-44 Lynchburg Hillcats against the 46-42 Salem Red Sox. We'll give you the starting lineup of how the Hillcats look to try to go in back-to-back wins. It will be led off by second baseman number one, Jake Fox, followed by the Hillcats' designated hitter and number 34, Jorge Burgos. The left fielder number 22, Isaiah Green, bats third, while the first baseman number 46, Junior Sancantin, bats cleanup. The third base number 2, Dayan Frias, bats fifth, while the center fielder number 43, Wilfredo Antunes, bats sixth. The right fielder number 24, Jordan Brown, makes a series appearance at the seventh spot of the order. Catcher number 6, Victor Blanchard, bats eighth. And then rounding out the order, it's the shortstop and number 10, Yordes Valdez. On the mound tonight for the Salem Red Sox to get the start is right-handed pitcher number 17, Juan Encarnacion. A 6-4 record this year for the Salem Red Sox lead all Salem Red Sox pitchers with 6 wins. It's his 17th start of the season. It's his 18th appearance out of the bullpen, and he has pitched 71 1/3 innings of work for Salem. He's allowed 69 hits and 35 earned runs. He has walked 25 batters and has struck out a team most 85. Opponents hit 251 against the right-handed pitcher in Juan Encarnacion, and he is all warmed up, and we are ready to go here from Salem Memorial Ballpark. The Hillcats were victorious in Friday night's series opener, a 9-6 win over the Salem Red Sox. Big offense in the beginning. We'll see what's able to happen on this Saturday night as the first pitch is down the middle for a called strike number one. 6:07 p.m. is our first pitch time at Salem Memorial Ballpark, and Jake Fox is down 0-1 in the count. A pair of singles yesterday for the Hillcats center fielder, as the 0-1 pitch by Encarnacion will miss away for ball number one. So a solid 6-4 record, and that opponent's batting average around a 251, a little above the team average, as Jake Fox will send the 1-1 pitch out towards the left center gap. Meredith moving back to the track, and it will land at the wall. It'll take a bounce off, and Meredith will throw it on in as Jake Fox starts off the night with a leadoff double. Good piece of hitting for Fox. We mentioned he went 2-5 yesterday with 2 singles, but his first extra base hit of the series was an excellent hit ball out towards left center field. It took a nice little bounce off the wall, and it caused the left fielder and Keir Meredith and center fielder Eduardo Lopez to get to work early on in the contest. So we drop down to the designated hitter in number 34, Jorge Burgos. First pitch by Encarnacion, a card strike number one on the outside half. Maybe not the way the Red Sox want to get going, as Fox has his third hit of the series, and he's already in scoring position as we're knotted up at zero piece in the top of the first inning. An 0-1 pitch by Encarnacion. Burgos will foul this down the third base side, and it'll work up into the seats to bring the count to 0-2. Speaking about our outfielders, we'll give you the Salem Red Sox defense. Keir Meredith out in left field. In center field tonight, it's Eduardo Lopez and Brian Gonzalez. Moves from one side field to the next as he's at right field tonight. Here's the 0-2 pitch to Burgos. A swing and a miss. Strike number 3. And Encarnacion follows up the leadoff Jake Fox double with a 3-pitch strikeout to Burgos. So that is our game's first out. And we move down the order to left fielder number 22, Isaiah Green. A bunch of left-handed batters to start off the order for the Lynchburg Hillcats. Fox, Burgos, and now Green, the top three of the order tonight for Lynchburg. Fox still at second base with a slight lead as Encarnacion fires a first pitch off speed that's in the zone for a called strike number one. Blaze Jordan at third base tonight for the Salem Red Sox, and on the other left side, it's shortstop Marcelo Meyer. Brian Bonassi at second base, and Tyler Miller field debut this series at first base. Here's the 0-1 pitch, and it's fouled back into the netting for strike two. Behind the dish tonight, it is Jose Garcia. It was Gilberto Mexicano last night, so we move down to Garcia. And we will see how number 3 of the Salem Red Sox is able to do behind the dish tonight. It was a tough go for Mexicano with a few pass balls. 0-2 pitch is above the letters for ball number one. It was a tough night, especially in that second and fourth inning. And a little of the pitches that got away from Angel Bastardo and Maceo Campbell allowed the Hillcats to move into scoring positions and come across at home at times. Here's the 1-2 pitch to Green, and this one's just off the plate for ball number two. 325 to the left field wall, 325 to the right field wall, 401 to straightaway center. Not much wind to the ballpark today. 95 degrees Fahrenheit is our current temperature. It's even count for Isaiah Green. 2-2 pitch, and Green will take it on the inside for ball number three, and the count works full for Green. We did have some wind coming in the pregame. It was blowing in right now 2 miles per hour to the northwest. Count is full for Isaiah Green, and Encarnacion, a long look in, kicks, and now will turn towards Jake Fox, but no throw made towards second. So we'll redo the 3-2. A big payoff pitch for Encarnacion. A look at Fox, the kick and the deliver, and it's up and away for ball four. So Isaiah Green down 0-2 in the count, was able to have some patience and work back in the at-bat, and he gets a free pass to first. So we drop down to the cleanup hitter in the order, and what an opportunity it is for Junior Sancantine. A two RBI night for the Lynchburg Hillcats yesterday. Recorded RBIs in the fourth and the sixth inning. And those hits were good enough at times to help Lynchburg get to that 9-6 win. Here's the first pitch to Sancantine, fouled up just towards our left, and makes his way into the seats. A 197 hitter this year for the Hillcats. Sancantine not really known for the consistent hitting, but 21 RBIs in a short time with here at Lynchburg as the 0-1 pitch misses upstairs for ball one. So runners on first and second. Fox at second base while Green is at first. A 0-0 game so far between Lynchburg and Salem. Game two of this three-game series. Led off by a double by Jake Fox, then a walk by Green. 1-1 pitch to Sancantine, and it's off the plate for ball two. Tonight's umpires, it is Shea Graham behind the plate calling the balls and strikes, while Brian Laws is on the base path. Laws right now standing at the back right side if we had the POV of Juan Encarnacion. A 2-1 count, Encarnacion looks, kicks, and deals as Sancantine chops his foul down the first base side. And it'll roll all the way down to the Hillcats bullpen. So a 2-2 count to Junior Sancantine, Dea Frias. Mike in an at-bat. He's on deck for the Hillcats. One away in the inning. A strikeout to Jorge Burgos. Here's the 3-2 pitch. A swing and a miss by Sancantine. And Encarnacion as the second punch out of the inning. It's a big one to put two outs on the board. Watch this. Encarnacion strikeout once again. Went with a fastball right down the middle, and the cleanup hitter of Lynchburg could not catch up. So same scenario. Runners at first and second, but now Dayan Frias, the third baseman for the Hillcats at the plate. First pitch just off of it for ball one. And we thought as a Salem Red Sox broadcaster, at least on my end, thought we had a very left-handed favorable lineup. But this is the fifth left-handed batter that Lynchburg has put on the plate. A top five in the order going against a right-handed pitcher of Encarnacion. 1-0 pitch, check swing by Frias, but it's in the zone for a called strike number one. Tonight, the Salem Red Sox are representing the Grateful Dead-themed uniform. A tie-dye jersey with the white Red Sox going across the front of the uniform and white numbering on the back. Here's the 1-1 pitch, and Frias will foul tip the pitch upstairs for strike two. Same ball cap, though, a red S on an all-dark blue baseball cap. And rocking with the tie-dye uniform, it's the white baseball pants. Been very common to have the specialty jerseys on these Saturday night games. 1-2 pitch to Frias, and it's a called strike number three. Fastball at 92 miles per hour, got Frias looking, and three punch-outs to start off the night for Encarnacion. The Hillcats strand two base runners in the inning, and we'll get our first look at the Salem Red Sox offense when we come back. It's scoreless between the Hillcats and the Red Sox here on MILB.TV. It's the bottom of the first inning here at Salem Memorial Ballpark, and it's a 0-0 score between the Salem Red Sox and the Lynchburg Hillcats. Left fielder number one, Keir Meredith, is set to lead things off in the Salem Red Sox order. We have seen him very often at the bottom of the order for the Red Sox crew, but today he will get things going against Juan Zapata, and on the first pitch thrown from the Hillcats' right-handed pitcher, it hits the right arm of Keir Meredith. So the leadoff batter for the Salem Red Sox, a painful first appearance at the plate, but he gets aboard for the first time today. Take another look at the fastball. It got a little low, and it hit Keir Meredith. Looks to be all right, though, as he walks down the first base. So a one-pitch at-bat ends up with Meredith at first, and now we drop down to second baseman number 19, Brainer Bonazzi. We'll start in the left-handed batter's box, and then we'll also have shortstop number 10, Marcelo Meyer, batting in the first. Meredith with a little bit of a lead at first, and Zapata fires an off-speed pitch that's called strike number one. Rest of the order, the third baseman number 24, Blaze Jordan, bats fourth, while the first baseman number 14, Tyler Miller, bats fifth. Center fielder number 15, Eduardo Lopez, bats sixth. A pickoff attempt back at first is not in time, as San Cantin's tag is just a little bit too late for the diving Meredith. Designated hitter for the Red Sox tonight, it's number 13, Yoberto Mexicano, and he bats 7th in the order, while the right fielder number 28, Brian Gonzalez, bats 8th. Bonassi will take the second pitch of the at-bat for a called strike 2 on the inside half. And then rounding out the order tonight, it's catcher number 3, Jose Garcia. So a little bit of different lineup for the Salem Red Sox after losing 9-6 last night to the Lynchburg Hillcats. And here's the 0-2 pitch, and the fastball just misses inside for ball number one. Well, what a night it was for Brainer Bonazzi on Friday. Three hits, a single, a double, and a triple. Very close to the cycle. Haven't had one yet here for the Red Sox at Salem Memorial Ballpark. Bonazzi was just a home run away from completing it. Here's the 1-2 pitch. Bonazzi puts it to the right side, fielded by Fox. Throw back to second for one. Throw back to first, and he got two. It's a 4-6-3 double play. And the Hillcats were able to turn a great deal of double plays in last night's contest. And here in the first inning, they come away with another spectacular defensive play to get the first two outs of the game. So Marcelo Meyer will walk up to the plate with two outs and nobody on the base paths. As Zapata's first pitch to Myers popped up towards the left side, it will work its way out of play, and into the seats it goes. Juan Zapata is a 2-4 pitcher this year for the Lynchburg Hillcats. He's making his third start of the year. and a popular bullpen pitcher as he's making his 16th appearance in 2022. Here's the 0-1 pitch to Meyer, and it misses low for ball one. 43 and one-third innings of work for Zapata. 41 hits allowed, 15 earned runs allowed. He has walked only 12 batters and has struck out 40 this season. 1-1 pitch to Meyer. This one misses low again for ball two. Zapata and Encarnacion are neighbors when it comes to opponents' batting average. 250 for Zapata. We mentioned that Encarnacion, 251 for opponents' batting average. Here's the 2-1 pitch to Meyer, and that's a called strike number two. Meyer maybe not be too happy about the call by Shea Graham, but the count's even at two balls and two strikes. Meyer started off last night with a triple. We'll see what he does in his first plate appearance today. Here's the 2-2 pitch. Meyer down the first base side. It's a base hit. It rolls to the corner in the right field side. Charging over is Brown, and Meyer will halt at second. So with the deuces wild at bat, Marcelo Meyer able to tightrope down that first base foul line, and it danced fair, and Meyer was able to take advantage of the bouncing towards the corner and was able to turn towards second for the Red Sox first hit of the contest. So another extra base hit to get the night going for Marcelo Meyer. And now with Blaze Doerr at the plate, the Red Sox have their first runner in scoring position tonight. Zapata steps in and fires the first pitch, a called strike number one on a 94-mile-per-hour fastball. Jordan recorded a double last night for Salem, but he was also the last out of the game. A 1-5 night for the cleanup hitter for the Salem Red Sox. Has a chance here to get them on the board, though. Here's the 0-1 pitch to Jordan. He belts this one over the shortstop head into the left center gap. Marcelo Meyer turns at third. He will come home and score. And Blaze Jordan has an RBI single, and the Red Sox strike first. It's Salem 1. It's Lynchburg 0. RBI number 48 on the year for Blaze Jordan. And that one was great recovery between the 3 and 4 part of the order. After grounding out to a double play by Brian Bonassi, it looked like the inning might have been held scoreless, but the Red Sox find a way to strike first once again. And now Miller first pitch. This is out towards left center field. Jordan will turn at second and head towards third. Miller kind of caught between first and second, slides in the second, and he is safe. He beats out the tag by Jake Fox, and it's a two-out double for Tyler Miller. A bang-bang play at second, and Miller was almost caught in his tracks. But instead, he has an extra base hit as well. Two runners in scoring position for the Red Sox. Take a look back on the tag. Fox's glove looked to be there simultaneous of when Miller slid into second. And Fox was believing that he got the tag down for out number three, but the inning goes on. And now Lopez will take the first pitch that drops low for ball one. So check this out. A double by Meyer, a single by Jordan, and now a double by Miller. And Salem went from having a slow start offensively to now really trying to have another big start against the Hillcats. Lopez swings on the 1-0 breaker, and he misses for strike one. Remember, the Red Sox scored three runs in the bottom half of the first inning yesterday, but they fell apart in the following half inning. They gave up five to the Hillcats. Here's Lopez, a 1-1, a slow grounder down the first base side. Zapata comes off the mound and makes a throw to Sincantin at first in time for out number three. But the Salem Red Sox strike first for the second straight day as Blaze Jordan's RBI single scores Marcelo Meyer, and the Red Sox lead after one. It's Salem 1, it's Lynchburg 0. Second inning up next. We welcome you back to Salem Memorial Ballpark, top of the second inning, and the Salem Red Sox have struck first for the second straight game as they lead 1-0 over Lynchburg. Well, the Hillcats were trailing after one in yesterday's contest and had the biggest inning of the night, a 5-run second, and we'll see what's able to occur here in tonight's top of the second inning. Antunez will lead things off, and he'll swing and miss for strike number one, a 90-mile-per-hour fastball, and Antunez missed it all. He'll be followed by Jordan Brown and Victor Blanchard for the Lynchburg Hillcats as Encarnacion fires the 0-1. Hot shot down the first base side, just foul of that right field foul line, and Brian Loss was all over it. Couldn't be in a better spot for a base path umpire. And the count goes 0-2 for Antunez. A good start to the game for the Lynchburg Hillcats offense. A double by Jake Fox. And then Isaiah Green walk had runners at first and second with only one out. But then back-to-back punchouts for Encarnacion got out of the inning. The 0-2 pitch by the righty misses outside for ball number one. And the center fielder with the 1-2 count with the base paths clear. Here comes the pitch from Encarnacion, and it's just off the plate for ball number two. We mentioned the Salem Red Sox with their specialty uniforms today, but the Lynchburg Hillcats going back with their dark blue uniform with the green numbering and lettering on the front of the uniform and the green numbering on the back. Here's the 2-2 pitch. Antunez hammers this down the first base side, but it will go foul and will stay at 2-2. Along with that dark blue uniform and the green lettering, they also have these teal sleeves. They are rocking the gray baseball pants alongside that uniform. Here's the 2-2 pitch. Antunez, a swing and a miss. It's into the dirt. So Garcia will step aside and throw it down to Miller for the drop third strikeout. And that starts the second inning here in Salem. You can make that three straight punchouts for Juan Encarnacion. Came in with the team most 85 on the season. And Encarnacion at times has been a pretty solid pitcher for the Salem Red Sox side. He has a win against the Hillcats this season. Came back in early May as the first pitch is on in and it misses inside for ball number one to Jordan Brown. Making his first appearance in the lineup against the Salem Red Sox this series. A 237 hitter with one home run and one RBI. He's up 1-0 in the count and Encarnacion deals and it's called strike number one. When you look at the wins and losses, you look at who else has gotten wins. Osvaldo De La Rosa with five wins for the Red Sox. 1-1 pitch is put to the right side, and it falls for a base hit. It rolls into the glove of Lopez, and he'll fire it in. But Jordan Brown will settle for a single, and it's a one-out base hit for the Hillcats right fielder. So that ends the consecutive three-strikeout streak by Juan Encarnacion, and the Hillcats were able to get their first base runner on since Isaiah Green's walk back in the first inning. And now we'll get our first look at Victor Blanchard this series as well. Catching tonight for the Lynchburg Hillcats, 253 on the season. In the first pitch, he pops it up towards the left side. Could be playable as Blaze Jordan works to the netting, but it will land about three rows up on the third base side for strike number one. Yordaz Valdez is on deck right now for Lynchburg. A big night he had, and if Blanchard's able to get aboard and Valdez comes to the plate with only one away, might open up an opportunity for Lynchburg to erase this 1-0 deficit that the Red Sox hold over them. 0-1 count to Victor Blanchard, and Encarnacion takes a long look in, and now the runner kind of hesitated towards second, and it's fouled away as a balk is called by Encarnacion. Actually, it is Shea Graham that calls the balk. Or no. It appeared that the home plate umpire, Shea Graham, pointed to the runner and Jordan Brown, but then Brian Laws, the base path umpire, corrected the decision and put Laws back on at first. So if it's fouled away by Blanchard, you would think the count is 0-2, but they say 1-1 here at Salem as Blanchard, hot shot down the first base side, off the glove of Miller, out to shallow right field, and Bonassi's throwback to first is wild. Garcia is able to cover it up to the right side of that first base foul line. So Brown is in the second, Blanchard into first, but an opportunity to turn at least one out, had one opportunity, then two opportunities, but they do not get any outs on the play. But Garcia's defense is able to be reliable and not make sure that the Hillcats have runners on the corners. So we mentioned that situation, if Blanchard was able to get aboard. Well, he did. And now Yordes Valdez, who had a two RBI night last night for Lynchburg, has runners on first and second with one away. First pitch to Valdez, hit towards the right side. Diving attempt by Miller, but it trickles out towards right field. Gonzalez charges on in. He's going to make a throw towards third. It's not on the money as Jordan is able to make the grab, but the tag on Blanchard is not there. And Jordan Brown scores from second to tie it up here in Salem. It's the Hillcats 1. It's the Red Sox 1. And Valdez has another RBI hit for Lynchburg this series. So with that, three base hits in a row for Lynchburg with the 7-8-9 part of the order. And then we're right back at the top with Jake Fox at the plate. Runners at first and third for the Hillcats. And now time is called by our home plate umpire, Shea Graham. So 1-1 is our new score here in Salem. And a pickoff attempt back at first base is not in time as Miller's tag is just a little bit too late to Yordes Valdez. It was a two RBI single last night for Yordes Valdez. And making himself a home with the number 9 spot of the order. He takes a jump over towards second as Garcia steps up and fakes the throw. As Valdez moves back towards first, the pitch is off the plate for ball one. So we talked about how in yesterday's game that Luke Montz and the Salem Red Sox are a big fan of the double steal. Runner at first goes towards second, and then the runner from third goes to home. Hillcats have also pulled it this series as Fox pops up the 1-0 pitch, and they'll land right on top of us for strike one. It's a 1-1 count with one away. And a 1-1 ball game. A ton of ones out there. And Gushers at the plate right now, number one for Lynchburg. Here's the pitch, and Fox put it toward the right side. Bonassi with the grab and an easy throw back towards first as Yordes Valdez was caught in his tracks for the double play. Well, the Hillcats are able to erase their one-run deficit, but the Red Sox are able to turn a double play to get out of the inning. It is Lynchburg 1. It is Salem 1. Bottom of the second inning, up next here in Salem. Welcome back to Salem Memorial Ballpark. It's a 1-1 ball game between the Lynchburg Hillcats and the Salem Red Sox. And we have the bottom three of the order set up for the Salem Red Sox. It'll be Yoberto Mexicano, Brian Gonzalez, and Jose Garcia. Juan Zapata out for another inning of work, and he starts things off by a 93-mile-per-hour fastball. That's called strike number one. So we mentioned how the Hillcats were able to turn a double play in pretty big instances last night. Well, both of them came when Mae Kano was at the plate. In his 0-1 pitch, it's a bouncer down the third base side. Throw from Frias over from one corner to the next, and he gets Mae Kano in time for out one. So Mae Kano's retired on two pitches for the inning's first out, and now it's Brian Gonzalez, who is now hitting above 300 for the Salem Red Sox, 325 to be exact. Two base hits last night for Salem, a single and a double for number 28 of the Red Sox, and he takes the first pitch low for ball number one. So the Red Sox were in a little bit of trouble in the top half of the second inning. Runners on the corners with one away and top of the order due up. But then Brandon Bonassi with a spectacular grab as Gonzalez belts out towards the left center gap. It falls for a base hit. Gonzalez is thinking two as it rolls to the wall. And Salem's right fielder will go into second and a wild throw will get away. Gonzalez gets the green light at third and he will score with ease. Brian Gonzalez, a trip around the bases, 360 feet. And the Salem Red Sox lead 2-1. A wild throw by the center fielder of Antunes, and Gonzalez is able to score. Watch this again. The center fielder just released it way too early. Never got a good grip with the baseball. And a heads-up base running by Gonzalez continued to work the other 180 feet that he already got to score from all the way from home. Great base running by Gonzalez. And although I don't think it's going to be inside the park home run, it will be a double and an advancement to home on a throwing error. So what a wild play for the Red Sox to retake the lead. And Garcia takes the first pitch low and away for ball one, and then he sends the 1-0 pitch out towards the right center gap. And now Garcia's thinking extra bases as Antunes will throw this into Jake Fox, and it's a stand-up double for Jose Garcia. Back-to-back doubles by the 8-9 part of the order for Salem. And we might not have a freakier instance for the remainder of the night. You know, this is single-A ball and minor league baseball, and still times like that where you scratch your head at a play that was made by Antunes out in center field. And Gonzalez was able to score. He slid in home and the throw wasn't even to the cutoff man at that point. And then Garcia follows it up with a double. So the top of the order now with Keir Meredith, who was hit by a pitch in his first at-bat, will have a runner in scoring position in the form of Garcia. First pitch by Zapata is a breaking ball that's called strike number one on the upstairs edge. So it is official, a double by Gonzalez and an advancement on a throwing error by the Lynchburg center fielder, and then the Garcia double. Here's the 0-1 pitch. Meredith will swing at a breaker and miss it all for strike number two. So the new score is Salem 2, Lynchburg 1. Already 9 base hits between both sides, and we're not even through a full 2 innings of play. Meredith down 0-2 in the count. Pitches away, and he swings another breaking ball, and he misses it all for strike three. So Juan Zapata gets his first punch out of the inning, and now there are two outs in the frame, and we see Brainer Bonassi make his way down towards the batter's box. Garcia still at second base for the Red Sox as the Salem catcher is able to find the gap once again. And Bonassi, who grounded out to a double play his last time up, will swing at the first pitch for strike number one. It was deflected off the barrel into the glove of Victor Planchart. So some weird instances here in the bottom of the second inning. Here's the 0-1 pitch to Bonassi, and this one just misses low on the breaking ball for ball number one. 1-1 count for Bonassi, and although he was a victim of a double play back in the first, he was able to turn one in the top of the second inning. That got the Red Sox out of that chaos. Here is Bonassi. He slaps this one up towards the middle. It gets through for a base hit. Garcia gets the green light at third. Here comes the throw from Antunes. It is not in time as Garcia slides in safe. And the Red Sox extend their lead. It is Salem 3. It is Lynchburg 1. And the third base hit of the inning for the Salem Red Sox is an RBI single by Brenner Bonassi. And now he moves to 1-2 of the night. And we move to a part of the order that did a really good job their first time through against Juan Zapata. But first, we are going to have a visit on the mound. The entire infield will come in as the pitching coach of Kevin Erminio will make his way out to talk with the right-handed pitcher of Zapata. So 3-1 ball game. The Salem Red Sox lead the Lynchburg Killcats after striking first with a Blaze Jordan RBI single back in the first inning. Red Sox were ahead 1-0, but then the Hillcats were able to find a way to get onto the score with a Yordaes Valdez single, and then the bottom of the second inning has been all but normal for the Salem Red Sox offense. Brian Gonzalez with a double out towards the left center wall was followed up by a throw-in error by the Lynchburg center fielder at Tunez, and that scored Gonzalez all the way from second. So the right fielder for the Red Sox went all 360 feet to give the Salem the 2-1 lead, and then you just heard or saw Brenner Bonassi single up the middle, make it a 3-1 Red Sox lead. So Shea Graham comes in to break up the conversation with the Lynchburg battery in infield, and Kevin Erminio makes his way back towards the first base dugout. So now we will proceed with the Marcelo Meyer at-bat of 1-1 night so far with a double back in the first. And the first pitch he sees is a strike on the outside corner. Meyer on the doorstep of 300 once again for the Salem Red Sox, a 299 batting average. Will swing at the 0-1 pitch and hammer this out towards left field, but Green works over to his left, and he squeezes the glove for out number 3 of the inning. But the Salem Red Sox are able to regain the lead and build up their largest lead of the night as they now lead the Lynchburg Hillcats 3-1 through 2 innings of play. Another inning for Juan Encarnacion and the Salem Red Sox defense coming up next. We welcome you back to Salem Memorial Ballpark. A 3-1 Red Sox lead over the Hillcats as Jorge Burgos, Isaiah Green, and Junior Sanquintin all the bat for Lynchburg in the top of the third inning. And Encarnacion's first pitch misses inside for ball number one. And so once again, the Salem Red Sox starter looks to preserve the Red Sox advantage as the 1-0 pitch is a breaking ball into the zone for a called strike number one. Well, Burgos went down swinging on three pitches in his first at-bat for Encarnacion's first strikeout of the day. So far, four punch-outs for Encarnacion, and the 1-1 pitch is just off the plate with a 90-mile-per-hour fastball. Well, it's a full slate on this Saturday night in the Carolina League, as some games have already gone underway, just like ours. As we're in the top of the third inning, a 3-1 advantage for the Red Sox. The 2-1 pitch, a called strike number two, with a 91-mile-per-hour fastball that just caught that outside corner. A two-run bottom of the second for the Salem Red Sox. Have them with a 3-1 edge. Here's the 2-2 pitch, and Burgos fouls this back into the netting for it to stay at two balls and two strikes. One game that had an early start, 5 p.m. to be exact, was the Down East Ducks and the Carolina Mudcats. A 2-0 lead for the home team in Carolina as the 2-2 pitch misses away for ball number three. Full count coming up for Encarnacion versus Burgos. We saw Down East pick up the victory yesterday against Carolina, and they trailed 2-0. As a 3-2 pitch to Burgos is sent down the third base side and into the seats it goes. Game in the middle of the seventh inning, though, so still some time for Downies to make their way back in the matchup. A 13-8 second half record for the Downies Ducks, and they are only 2.5 games back of the Fredericksburg Nationals for the top spot. Other payoff pitch, and Burgos swing and a miss for strike number three. Make that punch out number five for Encarnacion, and he starts off the third inning exactly like he did in the second with a strikeout swinging. Another fastball by Encarnacion that Burgos just could not keep up on. And the Hillcats designate her now 0-2 to start off the day. So Isaiah Green, the next man up, the left-handed batter, is 0-0 today as he swings at the first pitch and lifts this up down the third base side. And it will go foul. So an 0-1 count to start things off for Green. He walked his last time up back in the first inning. That's as far as he went as the Red Sox pitcher and Encarnacion went back-to-back strikeouts against the 4-5 part of the order. Green takes the 0-1 pitch inside and low for ball number one, and Green also had a good night for Lynchburg, an RBI double, picked up his ninth two-bagger of the season. Here's the 1-1 pitch to Green, and this is popped straight up a can of corn as it will stay in the infield. Meyer and Bonassi moving towards it, but Bonassi calls off Marcelo Meyer as he makes the catch for out number two. Maybe not the clearest communication between the middle infielders, Bonassi and Meyer, but hey, it falls into a Salem Red Sox glove for out number two, and you can see Bonassi right there just laughing it off. Him and Marcelo Meyer talking some things over. It's been a long season for them with the second baseman and the shortstop, as now Sinkantine will ground the first ball right to Bonassi, and he'll step in and throw it to Tyler Miller for out number three. It's a 1-2-3 inning from Juan Encarnacion and the Salem Red Sox, and they still lead this contest 3-1 over Lynchburg. Juan Zapata looks to try to get his first 1-2-3 inning as well as he comes out the pitch for the third inning for the Hillcats. You're listening to Salem Red Sox Baseball on MILB.TV. Welcome back to Salem Memorial Ballpark. It is the bottom of the third inning, and the Salem Red Sox lead the Lynchburg Hillcats by the score of 3-1. Middle of the order with Blaze Jordan, Tyler Miller, and Eduardo Lopez all coming to the plate here in this third inning. First pitch by Zapata misses low and away for ball one, and Zapata has had a few rough innings to get the day started, but a new inning and a new hope here for number 38 of the Lynchburg Hillcats. Here's the 1-0 pitch to Jordan, and the breaking ball goes well inside, causing Jordan to duck and make the count go to 2-0. Encarnacion looks sharp in the third inning, so he's had a good three innings of work as Jordan will foul off the 2-0 pitch as it goes straight back for strike number one. Some more Carolina League score updates to give to you guys. It's the Columbia Fireflies up 3-0 on the Augusta Green Jackets. Good start by the Fireflies as Blaze Jordan will just sit and watch the 2-1 pitch break into the zone for a called strike number two. 2-2 count. Zapata steps in and Jordan fouls this over towards the right side of the field and will stay at two balls and two strikes. So far, it's been great by the Fireflies, has not allowed a base hit. Meanwhile, three of their own and a 3-0 advantage at home. The 2-2 pitch just misses upstairs for ball number three on the inside, and that South Division race has been, well, let's just say interesting to watch these last 2 weeks. It's still Columbia and Kannapolis tied with the lead with 13-9 records. 3-2 pitch to Jordan, and the breaking ball gets him looking for a called strike number three, and Blaze Jordan can hardly believe it. Zapata pulled the string, and Jordan thought he had ball number four. It might have been a bit inside for Blaze Jordan's perspective, but Shea Graham thought it caught the inside half, and Zapata has his second strikeout of the night. So now it's Tyler Miller, who recorded a double his last time up, will chop the first pitch foul down the first base side. Another score to give you, the Myrtle Beach Pelicans lead the Charleston River Dogs 1-0. That game is in the top of the second inning, the best two records on the overall year. He's the 0-1 pitch to Miller, another chopper down the first base side. Closer, but the same result as it bounces foul. Myrtle Beach won the first half of the South Division title race over the Charleston River Dogs, beat them by a single game. It was a crazy end of the first half in the Carolina League for the South and the North Divisions as Miller will chop this one towards the right side. A few hops to Jake Fox, but he'll corral it and make a throw to St. Canteen in time for out number two. So now it's Eduardo Lopez, who will bat on the left-handed side for the Salem Red Sox. And it's been two up, two down so far here in this third inning of play. Last time up, Lopez grounded out to Juan Zapata, and the first pitch is a breaking ball called strike number one. Two games have yet to get underway. The Fayetteville Woodpeckers are playing the Kannapolis Cannonballers tonight, while the Fredericksburg Nationals are on the road against the Delmarva Shorebirds. 0-1 pitch misses upstairs with a fastball, and the count's 1-1 for Lopez. Pitch on the way, he will reach out and lift this up towards left field, and it falls right in front of Isaiah Green for the base hit. Lopez is aboard for the first time today, and he keeps the third inning going for the Salem Red Sox. Well, the switch hitters grounded out in their first at-bats of the game, but then the second time around, the switch hitters find some success. It was Bonassi in the second inning, and now it's Lopez here in the third. So we go to the number seven spot in the order. It's Gilberto Mexicano, and the first pitch breaks inside for the called strike number one. Rough start to the series for Mexicano, 0-5, including yesterday's 0-4 performance for the Red Sox. He will swing at the 0-1 and foul this off his left foot, and Shea Graham intervenes and says it's a foul ball. So keeping our eyes out for the Fredericksburg Nationals and Delmarva Shorebird series. The Nationals winning yesterday, the Red Sox losing. So now five games separate the Nationals and the Red Sox. As Mexicano will duck on an 0-2 pitch high upstairs for ball number one. Meanwhile, for Lynchburg, a win and a Fredericksburg win doesn't move up any ground, so they stay seven games back of the Nationals, a 16-6 record in the second half. 1-2 pitch, runner goes. This is fouled back towards the on-deck circle, which is currently held by Brian Gonzalez. So the count will stay 1-2. A big series next week for the Salem Red Sox as they travel up to Fredericksburg. We'll have a six-game series against the Nationals. One of the biggest road trips of the year. Here's the 1-2 pitch to Mayakano, and fastball upstairs at 90 for ball number two. After this series against the Hillcats, we only have 21 more games against North Division, 18 games against North Division foes. 12 against the Nationals, 6 against the Shorebirds. 2-2 pitch, runner goes. Mayakano chopper down the third base side. It rolls foul and will stay at 2-2. That consists of a road trip to Fredericksburg, like we mentioned, six games at Virginia Credit Union Stadium, and then the remaining 12 are played right here at Salem Memorial Ballpark. Six-game series against Delmarva in the middle of August, and then the last series of the year, six-game series against Fredericksburg Nationals right here at Salem. 2-2 pitch, Mayakano swings late, and he misses it all for strike number three. So the Red Sox strand one base runner in the inning. It's Eduardo Lopez after his single, and we stay 3-1. Salem Red Sox up on top of the Lynchburg Hillcats. We move into the middle innings. Juan Encarnacion will stay in the game for the Red Sox. We welcome you back to Salem Memorial Ballpark. It's the top of the fourth inning, and the Red Sox lead the Hillcats by the score of 3-1. Dayan Frias, Wilfredo Antunes, and Jordan Brown all to bat as the Hillcats trail by two runs here in the fourth. Encarnacion, five strikeouts today, fires the first pitch into the zone for a called strike number one by Encarnacion. Dayan Frias struck out looking his last time up in the top of the fourth inning, or top of the first inning, I should say, as he is now batting here in the top of the fourth inning as the 0-1 breaking ball misses inside for ball number one. So the count's even at one ball and one strike. And Encarnacion steps again at the mound. A little bit of wind now at the ballpark, blowing out towards right center field. Here's the 1-1 pitch to Frias. A swing and a foul tip into the glove of Jose Garcia for strike two. Frias back at third base tonight for the Hillcats. Batting in the fifth spot of the order today. Here's the 1-2 pitch to Frias, and this is lifted up towards left field. Keir Meredith moving back to the track, but he'll make a catch just shallow of that for out one. Now, this is a part of the order that Juan Encarnacion pretty much dominated through. He got Sancantin, Frias, and Antunes to all swing and miss to end their at-bats. But we'll see what's able to happen for Antunes. He will watch the first pitch miss off the plate for ball number one. A drop third strikeout his last time up. And now Encarnacion kicks and deals as Antunes fouls this back into the screen for strike number two. Wearing number 43 of the Lynchburg Hillcats, recently got promoted to the single-A level, just on the other side of the All-Star break. Here's the 1-1 pitch, and this one misses low and away for ball number two. Looking here at Salem, we might have some precipitation heading into the ballpark as the 2-1 pitch will miss just outside the way for ball three. You can kind of tell by the environment surrounding the ballpark as the wind is starting to pick up a bit. Just check the weather. It looks like around 60% chance of thunderstorms around 8 as the 3-1 pitch misses upstairs for ball number 4. And Antunes will get the free pass towards first. You can sort of tell how the wind is starting to take its effect with the center field camera shaking during that at-bat against Antunes. And then right after that at-bat, we get to see Jose Garcia jog on down and talk with the right-handed pitcher with Juan Encarnacion. So we mentioned how in the 5-6, or should I say the 4-5-6 part of the order, Encarnacion did a splendid job through. But the 7-8-9 is what got Lynchburg going, as Jordan Brown, Victor Planchart, and Yordes Valdez all singled off of Encarnacion. So Brown at the plate will swing at the first pitch and skies this out towards right field. Gonzalez moving back. Now takes a few steps in and makes the catch for out number two. So forget what I said there about Jordan Brown. A one-pitch at-bat ends with out number two of the inning. And now we drop down to Victor Planchart, the catcher who singled his last time up. Got as far as third base in that top of the second inning and was 90 feet away from giving the Hillcats their first lead of the day. But it was a double play by Brandon Bonassi at the end of the frame to close it up for the Hillcats' hopes. First pitch to Planchart, he will swing and miss on the breaking ball and drop down 0-1 in the count. Did not play yesterday for the Hillcats as the Lynchburg catcher. And said yesterday we had Richard Paz behind the plate for Lynchburg. Here's the 0-1 pitch to Planchart. Hot shot to the first base side off the glove of Miller. Bonassi recovers and makes a throw to Tyler Miller. What a play from the right side of the infield. Miller keeps it in the infield. Bonassi reaches over and gets it on the glove side and makes a spectacular throw to first to close off the inning. Watch that again, folks. That's a web gem-like play. And we're through 3.5 here at Salem Memorial Ballpark. It's the Red Sox 3. It is the Hillcats 1. Bottom of the fourth up next as we'll be joined by special guests right here in the broadcast booth. We welcome you back to the bottom of the fourth inning. The Salem Red Sox lead this matchup 3-1 over the Lynchburg Hillcats. It will be Brian Gonzalez to lead things off for the Salem Red Sox as he swings to the first pitch and puts a chopper towards the left side. It's scooped up by Valdez and a throw over to San Canteen in time for out number one. So a quick start to the inning for the Lynchburg pitching staff of Juan Zapata. And we are now joined alongside by a special guest, Mike Heller, joins us here at Salem Memorial Ballpark, representing Strikes for Tykes, which is a great organization that partners with the Salem Red Sox here. And Mike, just tell us a little about what the Strikes for Tykes does here for Salem.
Absolutely. First of all, we want to thank the Salem Red Sox for including us again. We count strikeouts for Salem home games and ask fans to donate either a per strikeout pledge or a flat rate for the season. We invoice at the conclusion of the season, so after the playoffs are over, the team's done for the year, and all the proceeds come back to the Carilion Children. So it's been a great partnership with the Red Sox since 2019.
That is awesome. As a 1-1 count here for Jose Garcia, Zapata steps in, and Garcia swings and misses for strike number two. 847 strikeouts this season by Salem, and I don't know, is that pretty good pace right now from the Red Sox crew?
They're on a pace for 600 home strikeouts. We hit that in 2019, but they made the playoffs that year. So we can go a lot higher if they win the second half. We average at the A-ball level between 500 and 600 for the home games only, which is what we're counting. But these guys are throwing a lot this year. Home games are at 427 coming into tonight, and they already have a bunch this evening as well. So we'll hit the 500 mark really soon.
Garcia swings and misses for the strikeout, so two up, two down here for Zapata. Those on the strikeouts do want to see right against the Salem Red Sox, unfortunately. But Zapata puts a two down here in the bottom of the fourth. And now Keir Meredith's first pitch he sees is low for ball number one. So he's spending a good time here at the weekend. We saw you the pregame as well with the check ceremony. Great day here at the ballpark. Grateful Dead night. Good crowd as well here at Salem.
Oh, great crowd. We had a really good crowd last night. We try to get in here three times a season. We got a little bit messed up with the spring and still with the travel restrictions with what's going on, but really happy to be here, and we'll be back in September as well. But we've also partnered with the Salem Red Sox Booster Club, and they have two of their boosters who also work the table when we're not here. So there's always a presence of Strikes Your Tykes.
2-2 count to Meredith, and a swing and a miss as it's into the dirt, and a tag made by Plantrop behind the plate. A 1-2-3 inning here in the bottom of the fourth inning, and we go into the fifth, a 3-1 Salem Red Sox lead. We welcome you back to Salem Memorial Ballpark. Top of the fifth inning, a 3-1 lead for the Salem Red Sox as Yordes Valdez shows bunt and pulls back for strike number one. Still called by Shea Graham behind the plate. 9-1-2 part of the order as Yordaz Valdez, Jake Fox, and Jorge Burgos all to bat as the 0-1 pitch into the zone for a called strike number two. Andy Losi joined alongside by Mike Heller. Here strikes for Tykes in the Salem Red Sox broadcast booth. Good start tonight so far as the 0-2 pitch will be chopped over to the right side, fielded up by Bonassi, and a throw over to Miller in time for out number one. So we'll go back to the top of the order for the Lynchburg Hillcats. And, Mike, you were just talking to me over the break. It's really great baseball community here in Southwest Virginia. I can't believe, like, how much the passion is here from the fans. They really care about the Salem Red Sox. And, of course, talk about the Appalachian League, which used to be the rookie ball level, now partnered with MLB. See, it's this, that's a great area for baseball here.
It really is. I mean, some of the best baseball in the country is in North Carolina, Southwest Virginia, actually the whole state of Virginia, and then moving up into Maryland. It's just it's a hotbed for ball. Some great youth programs, some great summer programs, and it all feeds back to the minor league team. I mean, the Salem Red Sox really get a lot of support from their fan base, and their fan base extends quite far. I mean, now that Pulaski's in the draft league, they've picked up everything heading down that way. They've got the whole Virginia Tech area in Blacksburg, and even up to Lynchburg. It's great when Lynchburg's in town or we go up there because, you know, we're traveling with the team. They travel well.
Yeah, great rivalry between these two teams as the first pitch to Jorge Burgos is fouled back off the screen and right into the catch of a fan, one of the better catches we have seen of the night. Jake Fox was retired at the plate with a pop-up to the third base side and was caught by Blaze Jordan, and now an 0-1 count as Burgos will shoot this down the right field side, and the catch is made by Gonzalez.
Another 1-2-3 inning.
They operate fast here at Salem Memorial Ballpark as we'll go into the bottom half of the fifth inning, a 3-1 lead for the Salem Red Sox over the Lynchburg Hillcats. We welcome you back to Salem Memorial Ballpark. Andy Losi joined alongside Mike Heller here of Strikes for Tykes. As now Brian Bonassi, first pitch fast and inside for ball number one. It feels like the game has sped up so fast when Mike has been up here. We were talking about it over the break. We've had six straight outs, back-to-back 1-2-3 innings. So Mike has to stay on board as Bonassi will swing and miss on the 1-0 counts. But it is really changed the game a lot with this pitch clock and so many different changes at all levels.
Yeah, it really has. The only difference between here and AAA is with runners on, they get an extra second. They get 19 seconds instead of 18 to get the pitch for the pitcher to start break his set and start delivery. But it really has sped up the game. We're seeing game times drop by 25 minutes on average, maybe a little bit, maybe even a little bit more. There's not a lot of of the chess match involved anymore with the pitchers and the hitters. So it's deliver the pitch. Let's get it going.
A 3-1 count for Bonassi as Zapata will step in and deliver. This one go right down the middle for a called strike number two. Bonassi so far today is 1 of 2 for the Salem Red Sox. Red Sox second baseman made a great play at the end of the top of the fourth inning. Here's the 3-2 pitch, and Bonassi will foul this down the left field side and will head into the general admission seating. And one of the biggest changes yesterday, right out the All-Star break, was the Florida State League. Single-A level as well. They had the weird pie at second base for the shift band. Here's the 3-2 pitch to Bonassi, and it goes low for ball number four, and Bonassi will get a free pass towards first.
Yeah, the Florida State League has actually been one of the experimental leagues for a lot of what's been going on. They were one of the first leagues to enter for pitch clock. They're experimenting with automatic ball strike, and they're experimenting now with the shift rule that Major League Baseball is trying to bring in. And we'll see how successful that is. They do have a rule, I believe it's in AA, that you have to have two players on each side of second base for the infielders to try to eliminate the shift. It's been really interesting. We'll see how it works for Major League Baseball.
Marcelo Meyer fouls off the first pitch for strike number one. And I feel like this season when we've seen it, I mean, right now Yordan Valdez in a pretty tight spot as the throwback towards first is not in time for the pickoff attempt. But they've kind of developed that system. They've started to understand that the shift won't be a part of baseball for much longer. They've stood on their respective sides. You don't see much of it happening as Marcelo Meyer pops up the 0-1 pitch out towards left field. Isaiah Green will charge in and make the grab for out number one. Bonassi holding at first base.
And I agree, Andy. They are starting to adjust to it. The other thing as well is at the lower levels in the minor leagues, we don't know the new players coming in, especially after the draft. So they're going to play them straight up until they learn the tendencies. As the players develop reputations, get their at-bats, we're going to see where they're trending to hit the ball, and then you'll see more of the shift or more of the push is probably what it's going to become if they have to stay on their side of second base.
Throw back to Bonassi, and the pickoff attempt not made as Zapata has kept his eye out on Salem's number 19. Now Blaze Jordan at the plate.
That's another interesting rule is you're only allowed 2 pickoff attempts per batter. And on the third one, if they're not successful, it's recorded as a balk.
Jordan ground ball to Valdez, throw over to Fox, and then a double play. Another quick half inning here at Salem Memorial Ballpark. Earth through 5, it's a Salem Red Sox 3. It's a Lynchburg Hillcats 1. We welcome you back to Salem Memorial Ballpark. Top of the sixth inning. Graham Hoffman now in the pitch for the Salem Red Sox. A called strike number one down the middle against Isaiah Green. Mike Heller here for Strikes for Tykes, still in the broadcast booth. We were talking about all the rule changes, and we were talking about the pitch clock and how fast it is, but this game has really picked up, and especially another big double play by the Hillcats. Their defense has looked strong, and we were talking about that Southwest battle. These two teams, towards the end of the first half of the season, were neck and neck the entire way through, tied with a 35-31 overall record, and the Hillcats got the benefit of the tiebreaker, winning 8 of the 15 games between each other. One game was the difference between who won the first half of the season. Isaiah Green leads things off. A 1-2 count.
Yeah, it's a great rivalry between the Red Sox and the Hillcats. Lifetime, I think they're within 10 games of each other.
They actually, at one point of the season, I want to say the beginning of the series, they were actually tied straight up. So it's still that close, 11-11. So it is tied right now on the season series as the 2-2 pitch misses upstairs for ball number three. And when you speak about balls and strikes in these at-bats like this, you were talking a little bit during the break about the AAA level of how they had the automatic balls and strikes. We don't have that here at the single-A level. What has that been like for them as Green strikes out as he swings and misses for the first out of the inning?
Hey, well, that's another strikeout for Strikes for Tykes, so we're hoping that people are pledging for that because all those proceeds are once again going to Carilion Children's. The automatic ball strike has been rather interesting. We're office out of Sacramento, California, and the Pacific Coast League is now using it in all their ballparks. It's knocked the arguing way down because now the umpires are listening to a computer in their ear, and it's just a voice that says ball or strike. So the arguing is really almost non-existent. Which has been, also helps speed up the game and takes that piece out of it. Now it's up to the managers to really protect their players if they have to argue it. But they can't because it's all on a computer.
0-1 pitch swung on and missed by San Cantini. Drops 0-2 in the count with one away. Bark in the park night. A little dog and a little crazy down there in the concourse. As Hoffman steps in for the 0-2 pitch, well upstairs for ball number one. And
I thought that was Muggsy, actually.
Muggsy's gone a little wild down there. You should see on Thursday, he runs out with the whole, like, floaty beer thing. It just, he looks like he's out of control. A wild dog with a beer can as the 1-2 pitch.
That's our Muggsy.
Misses upstairs of ball number two.
So, yeah, we were lucky enough. We were here for the last Hillcat series last year. Always enjoy coming in when Lynchburg's in town. And the check presentation tonight made it even extra special. We raised over $1,700 last year for Strikes for Tykes that we just presented to Carilion this evening. And we're hoping to top that again this year.
San Quintin grounds out to the first base side, and Miller has the easy tag over at first. Two up and two down for Hoffman, the star of the night. And it's also not only just for you guys for the partnership that you've had here at the Salem Red Sox, but also is it your first time coming here in 2022? Because it's now named after Carilion Clinic here, Carilion Clinic Field for the first time.
Yes, this is our first visit in. As I said, we try to get in three times a year. That's just not going to be possible this year, but thoroughly enjoy coming here.
Frias trying to move towards third as he finds the right center gap, and he slides in safe for a two-out triple. And Dayan Frias is aboard for the first time today, and he just showed his speed out on the base paths as Marcelo Meyer was hit on the cutoff. Looked like to try to make a throw towards third, but Frias way too quick into the bag, and now some time might be called here as Frias might have jammed his hand as he was sliding in the third base. So we'll see the athletic trainer of the Lynchburg Hillcats jog on out. That is Franklin Sammons as Frias is just standing over to the third base side. And the Lynchburg third baseman we checked on before we get to the bat of Wilfredo Atunes. Yeah, but, you know, we had a Carilion Clinic day here at the ballpark. It was packed. I mean, they do so much for the community down here in Southwest Virginia.
They do.
And you guys help out in that cause as well. And we'll see how Dayan Frias is able to keep in this game as he's showing some pain right there on the third base side. Great athleticism, but hopefully we're able to see Frias stay in the contest as Graham Hoffman getting a few warm-up pitches to stay loose. And after a quick visit, it looks like Frias is going to stay in the game for the Hillcats. Yeah, especially with the Carolina League, we were talking about how great that series is between the both sides. And You know, we see some Lynchburg Killcats fans here today. They made the trip down here to Salem Memorial Ballpark. And also when Fredericksburg comes to town, you know, I thought it was at Nats Park for a little bit there with some
W's. A lot of Nationals fans come on down. We've been here for Fredericksburg as well.
So here's the first pitch to Atunes, and it's low for ball number one. As Frias at third base after picking up the triple, the first extra base hit by Lynchburg since Jake Fox back in the first as the 1-0 pitch misses low and inside for ball number two. And although you were here last night, tough game fielding-wise and offensively for the Salem Red Sox. They're looking a little bit better today, and hope that's able to keep up as the 2-0 pitch misses upstairs for ball number three.
Yeah, no, we were we were lamenting last night. We're hitting a lot of double plays.
Roberto Meccano went into two of them in the sixth and the eighth inning. Here's the 3-0 pitch, and Atunes takes it the whole way for strike number one. We see some great performances this year with some strikeouts. I think Angel Bastardo, he had a 7 strikeout day last night, just wasn't his day, unfortunately, as the 3-0 pitch just misses low for ball number four. Now the Hillcats in a little bit of a position to strike here with runners on the corners and Jordan Brown making his way down to the plate.
Ground up.
So runners on the corners as now Jordan Brown, who is one of two today for the Lynchburg Killcats in his first appearance this series, will watch a pitch go low. Garcia loses sight of it. It rolls past him, and Frias scores from third. The Hillcats cut their deficit in half as it's now 3-2 Salem, and into second base is Antunes. This was a situation the Red Sox struggled with last night. A few pass balls here and there allowed base runners to move all across the base paths. At that time, it allows Frias to score from third, and now the tying run is in scoring position for Lynchburg. And sometimes as a batter, it could be a very nerve-wracking instance when you're like, I have to drive in that run. He's 90 feet away. And then when the pitcher and catcher have a little miscommunication, it kind of loosens up the at-bat a bit here for Jordan Brown.
Does. He can sit back and relax now and sit on something and get his pitch that he wants.
250 hitter this season with one home run, and that was his lone RBI, looking to try to get number two as he hammers the 1-1 pitch on the left field side and bounces in just to the Roanoke Times Pavilion.
Don't think he's going to see an off-speed pitch again for the rest of this at-bat.
He sat on that one at 85 miles per hour. The netting has been one of the rule changes I've seen in minor league baseball that's been excellent, and that time it just missed the netting, but there's been some times this year where it's hammered into the netting. 1-2 pitch just off the plate at 92 miles per hour. We're so close right there.
Yeah, the netting's actually at all levels. It's up in the Major League Baseball as well. And it's been great for fan protection.
It has been. And sometimes we've seen some bats hit the netting, and that's when it gets real scary. 2-2 pitch just upstairs for ball three, and the count goes full. We're looking for our 8th strikeout of the day for the Salem Red Sox here. Try to close off this top of the 6th inning and keep the Salem Red Sox ahead. Full count now for Brown. Hoffman fires, and this one's just off the plate for ball four, and another walk given up by Graham Hoffman. And now Victor Planchar will make his way down to the plate.
We're going to get a visit.
And Nick Green, first time today, jogging out to the mound to talk with Hoffman. Graham Hoffman this season for the Salem Red Sox has provided you with 25 strikeouts now. So he got one to start off the 6th inning. Doesn't walk a whole lot. Only 10 this season coming into today. But back-to-back walks. And he allowed a triple earlier on by Dan Frias. And for Victor Planchar today, he is one of two for the Lynchburg Killcats and has an opportunity to keep this inning alive for Lynchburg. You have that tying run at second base in the form of Atunes and the leading run with Jordan Brown at first. So sometimes when Nick Green comes out, it actually does wonders for the Salem Red Sox crew. They can usually find their identity again. So we'll hope that this time Hoffman's able to get back in this at-bat.
Yeah, Salem's Red Sox bullpen just got moving.
First pitch goes low for ball number one. It's always kind of hard to see today. Tie-dye uniforms for the Grateful Dead Knights. The white can be seen. It's not the clearest sometimes.
No, it does blend.
Took me a second to find out who was on the mound as the 1-0 pitch goes high and inside for ball number two. Pretty busy night from the bullpen yesterday. Maceo Campbell, Blake Lubier, Brian Lucas, and Christopher Choi all being used. So we'll see who gets warmed up. Hoffman, the first guy out today for Salem. 2-0 pitch goes upstairs for ball number three. I don't have any binoculars, unfortunately. It's kind of just, I depend on the monitor at times to get a good camera look over. It looks like Bautista is warming up right now, number 41, as a 3-0 pitch is shot straight up, and this one goes just over our head for strike number one. Had one of those come in this year, foul ball.
Only one?
Yeah, it was a wild experience.
Heard the story behind that one, right?
Oh, the Jason Benetti foul ball right back by the door. I can't imagine what that was been like for him. As a 3-1 pitch shot straight up, this one will stay in play, and it looks like the Red Sox could get out of the inning as Bonassi will make the grab for out number three. Great grab by Bonassi, and it closes off the top of the sixth inning. Mike, thank you so much for joining
Thanks, Andy,
us here in
it.
The broadcast booth. Love what you do here for the Salem Red Sox and Carilion Clinic. It is special, and hopefully we're able to get more strikeouts for not just this game, but the series as well for the rest of the year.
We hope so, and we'll be back actually for the last series.
Awesome. That
so
sounds
we'll
great.
Be coming up for the last series.
We'll see you in September then. It's the Salem Red Sox 3, the Lynchburg Hillcats 2. Bottom of the sixth inning up next. We welcome you back to Salem Memorial Ballpark. 3-2 lead for the Red Sox over the Hillcats as Juan Zapata still in the game as Miller will foul off the first pitch for strike number one. So Lynchburg is able to cut that deficit in half as they pick up a run in the top of the sixth inning and make it now a one-run ball game. So it'll be Miller, Lopez, and Mayicano all the bat for the Red Sox here in the sixth inning. Miller, one of two so far today, as a swing and a miss by Miller for strike number two. We just had Mike Keller of Strikes for Tykes on here on the broadcast. Wonderful thing that he does here with the Salem Red Sox with strikeouts, and he's been a part of the Salem Red Sox organization since 2019 as the 0-2 pitch just misses away for ball number one. In town this weekend for the three-game series between the Lynchburg Hillcats and Salem Red Sox, as Miller will put this towards the right side, a bouncing ball over to Jake Fox, makes a throw over to San Canteen in time for out number one. So second ground out by Miller today that made its way over to Jake Fox's glove. And I'll tell you this right now, we were having all that great conversation and everything with it, but unfortunately, hopefully we're able to keep this game going as there might be a chance of some rain comes into the area later on. Is now Eduardo Lopez at the plate. First pitch is just missed inside for ball one, and the second one misses low for ball number two. Lopez, one of two tonight for the Salem Red Sox. The center fielder making his return to the lineup today. Here's a 2-0 pitch, and Lopez dodges on a fastball that misses inside for ball number three. Red Sox looking to try to lead the season series as it's 11-11 between Lynchburg and Salem in 2022. 3-0 pitch to Lopez. He'll watch it come the whole way through for a called strike number one. Hitter's pitch for Lopez with the base paths clear and a chopper over to Jake Fox. Charges in, able to get a glove on it. Backhanded scoop over to San Canteen in time with a second out of the inning. So now it's time for Yoberto Mexicano. But first, it appears we're going to have a mound visit by Omer Santos. The manager of the Lynchburg Killcats making his way out towards the mound. And it appears he will get the ball in hand before facing off against the Salem designated hitter. Well, for Juan Zapata, it was a tough start, giving up three runs in the first two innings, but he looked brilliant from innings three and onward. He gives up no runs. The bats get quiet for the Red Sox, and he keeps the Hillcats in this battle. 3-2 is our score. The Red Sox lead with two outs in the bottom of the sixth. We'll have a new pitcher in for Lynchburg. We'll get you that name and information as it appears that number 39 is coming into the game, and that is Sergio Murillo. So the right-handed pitcher will start for Lynchburg when we come back on the other side of this pause. We welcome you back to Salem Memorial Ballpark. It is the bottom of the sixth inning, and it's a 3-2 Salem Red Sox lead over the Lynchburg Hillcats. Base paths clear with two away as Sergio Murillo will fire a first pitch called strike by Shea Graham. Salem had led this contest 3-1 for the longest time until the Hillcats are able to get one back. Now Mexicano will jam up and ground to Jake Fox as a throw over to San Canteen in time. And this bottom of the sixth inning was brought to you by Ground Balls to Jake Fox. It's a 1-2-3 inning, every out going towards the right side of the infield, and Jake Fox went a perfect 3-for-3. We have the seventh inning up next. Graham Hoffman is out for another inning of work. Salem only with a one-run edge. It's 3-2 Red Sox over the Hillcats. We welcome you back to Salem Memorial Ballpark. It's the top of the seventh inning, and the Salem Red Sox lead the Lynchburg Hillcats 3-2, 9-1-2, part of the order. Up for the Hillcats as Yordaes Valdez, Jake Fox, and Jorge Burgos will all bat against Graham Hoffman, who delivers a first-pitch called strike on the outside half. A 1-2 night so far for Valdez as the Lynchburg shortstop singled back in the second and then grounded out in the fifth. And now he will hit a hot shot grounded to Marcelo Meyer, who scoops it up and makes a splendid throw over to Tyler Miller in time for out number one. So that's our third time through the Lynchburg Hillcats order. So we go back up to Jake Fox, who was 1-3 today. Top of the seventh inning, let's get you a look around the Boston Red Sox organization, specifically with minor league baseball, as the AAA Worcester Red Sox took a 7-3 defeat to the Syracuse Mets earlier on in the day. They had an early first pitch time at 4:05 p.m. as Hoffman delivers a first pitch strike that's dropped into the zone for strike number one. A double back in the first inning, but then he popped up in the second as well as in the fifth as the 0-1 pitch is eye level upstairs for ball number one. So a big win for Syracuse, and Alvarez, one of the top prospects in all of minor league baseball, hitting his first home run with Syracuse today as Fox hammers this down the right side as it rolls foul down that right field side. Another score to get you caught up on, it's the Portland Sea Dogs leading the New Hampshire Fisher Cats 3-1 in the top of the third inning. The Sea Dogs are now an even 44-44 in the overall record in 2022, but they have been great in the second half of the season. As the 1-2 pitch by Hoffman is a breaking ball that sits upstairs for ball two. 14-5, and they're in the Eastern League Northeast Division. A ton of East there. As they try to clinch a playoff spot in the second half of the season as Fox is a slow grounder down the first base side, but it dances foul and will stay at 2-2. A two-game lead over the Hartford Yard Goats. Remember, the Somerset Patriots, the New York Yankees affiliate, won the first half division title, so how cool would that be if Portland is able to find a way to win and you have the Boston affiliate and the Yankees affiliate playing against each other in the playoffs as Fox put a 2-2-2 foul to the left side of the backstop and will stay at that count. And then lastly, the Aberdeen Ironbirds are leading the Greenville Flyboys 1-0. The Greenville Drive 1-0. In the South Atlantic League, as Fox hammers the 2-2 pitch down the first base side and dances foul. Talk about the Appalachian League earlier. Dropped the Happy League team name. Aberdeen won their first half in the South Atlantic League North Division. Meanwhile, the Greenville Drive, at right that time, sitting last in the South Atlantic League Southern Division. That's where they ended up in the first half and hasn't been as great in the second half of the year, as they are 7-13 and are on a three-game losing streak. 2-2 pitch to Fox. A swing and a miss as it's into the glove of Jose Garcia. That's another strikeout for Sykes right there as Graham Hoffman gets his second punch out of the game, and it's two up, two down here in the seventh. Fox with a swing and a miss, and Saul was grabbed by Garcia behind the plate. And a big strikeout there to start its run through the top of the order as Burgos drives the first pitch out towards the left center gap. Lopez moving up, reaches up, and can't make the grab. The ball rolls to the wall, and stopping at second base is Jorge Burgos. A tough start tonight for Burgos, but he comes through in his fourth plate appearance with his first base hit of the game. The designated hitter struck out in his first two at-bats, popped up in his third, and comes away with an extra base hit here in the seventh. And the tying run for the Hillcats is now in a scoring position. So Lynchburg not out of this inning just yet, as Isaiah Green will swing at the first pitch and foul into the netting for strike one. Green is 0-2 tonight for the Hillcats. Walked in his first plate appearance, popped up in the third. And then a strikeout in the sixth inning. where he led off the frame. 0-1 pitch to Green, and this one drops low for ball number one. So looking at this situation, we mentioned how the Red Sox trailing by five in the Carolina League North Division to the Fredericksburg Nationals. The Greenville Drive trailing by eight games to the Rome Braves, who are 16-6 in the South Atlantic League South Division. Green pops up the 1-1 pitch behind us, and it will go just to our left side. Meanwhile, the Worcester Red Sox are in one of the most competitive division races I've ever seen. The International League East is such a fun race to watch. It's a three-way tie right now. As a 1-2 pitch is on the way to Green and misses just upstairs at eye level for ball number two. But Worcester is not out of the running. They are 2.5 games back of the Durham Bulls, the Jacksonville Shrimp, and then the Lehigh Valley Pigs. So there's a big chance that Worcester can get back into it there as Graham Hoffman gets Isaiah Green the swing and miss for strike number three. And another one for Graham Hoffman. It's his third punch out of the game, his second of the inning. And the Hillcats strand a base runner in scoring position. It's 3-2 Salem, bottom of the seventh, up next. Welcome you back to the bottom of the seventh inning. The Salem Red Sox lead 3-2 over the Lynchburg Hillcats as we saw Sergio Murillo came in the pinch for the Hillcats in the sixth inning and closed up the job. Gets a start here in the seventh against Brian Gonzalez. First pitch misses low for ball number one, and he swings through on pitch number two to even the count at one ball and one strike. 1-2 night for Gonzalez as the 1-1 pitch misses away. And the count goes to 2-1. Murillo has had a tough start to the year with an 18.00 ERA coming into today's game as he will pitch a called strike to Brian Gonzalez at 95 miles per hour as the count evens up at two balls and two strikes. Murillo steps in and Gonzalez will watch it go low and outside for ball number three. So a full count now as we take a look at Sergio Murillo's numbers this year. It's his fourth appearance for the Hillcats. He's had three innings of pitching, and he's allowed six hits and six earned runs. He has walked four batters and has struck out four here in 2022. Here's the full count pitch to Gonzalez, a blooper over towards right center field. Charging is the right fielder, and he can't make the grab. And Gonzalez takes a big turn at first, but will settle for a single, and it's a leadoff hit for Brian Gonzalez, now 2 of 3 on the day for the Salem Red Sox. Well, there has been a change out in right field, and it is number 33 for the Lynchburg Hillcats. But I went to go back and look at the roster. There is not a number 33 on this team. So I don't want to misidentify the player as the first pitch misses low and away for ball number one. And there hasn't been an update here on the Game Day app or the website. So right now he's the Lynchburg right fielder. We'll see what happens when he comes up to the plate, though, as the 1-0 pitch misses inside for ball number two. So it appears that Jordan Brown's night, my apologies, has come to an end for the Lynchburg Hillcats. 3-2 lead for the Salem Red Sox over Lynchburg as the pitch is away and Garcia fouls it down the right field side as it hooks for strike number one. So right now we have a lot of things to look out for, right? Who is the new right fielder for Lynchburg? Will this rain come through the area and make an impact? Right now we have 70% at 8 p.m. over us here in Salem, Virginia. 2-1 pitch, Garcia, big swing and a foul tip into the glove of Planchard for strike number two. Garcia is one of two so far today for the Red Sox, a double back in the second inning, and a strikeout looking back in the fourth. 2-2 count, Garcia will be hit by the pitch. A 93-mile-per-hour fastball that hits the left arm of Jose Garcia, and he'll jog down towards first. It's the second hit batter of the day for the Salem Red Sox, Garcia being second, and the man at the plate now in Keir Meredith was the first. A fastball high and inside, and luckily was able to hit the arm of Garcia and not higher up towards the face area. But now at the top of the order for the Salem Red Sox in this 3-2 lead with runners at first and second. First pitch to Meredith, a called strike number one on the inside half. Meredith so far today is 0-2. His only on-base appearance came at a painful time when he was hit by a pitch in his first at-bat. He has struck out swinging his last two, and he's hit the ground towards the left side. Valdez is able to turn to second for one. Fox throw back to first, can't get Meredith. So it is a force out at second, and runners at the corners now for the Red Sox as Brian Gonzalez gets in the third. Quick maneuver for Yordaz Valdez, who has already creeped a little bit over towards second base. Had a maneuver out towards the right side, was able to scoop it up perfectly and made a good throw to Fox. And then Jake Fox showing his Derek Jeter highlight play as he stepped off the bag and tried to throw it across his body to San Cantin. It was a pretty good throw, but Meredith is a very fast base runner for the Salem Red Sox. So Brandon Bonazzi at the plate. We'll see what they do now as the first pitch is low for ball number one. And now Meredith takes off towards second, and he moves into scoring position. Ball just squeezed past Victor Planchard to the right side. And by the time he was able to pick up the ball, Keir Meredith was over the halfway mark in the second base. So good decision by the Hillcats catcher to eat it up. But now a double play ball out of effect for Lynchburg. A 1-0 count to Bonassi and a fastball right down the middle at 95 miles per hour for strike number one. All right, so here's a chance for the Salem Red Sox to really build on their 3-2 lead. You have two runners in scoring position with the heart of the order up ahead. Here's the 1-1 pitch to Bonassi and a fastball misses low and outside for ball number two. 25 RBIs this year for Brandon Bonassi, a .251 batting average for the Salem second baseman. And the infield for the Lynchburg Hillcats has started to creep on into the infield grass. 2-1 is the count with one away. Pitch on the way to Bonassi, and the fastball is just away for three balls and one strike. 96 miles per hour there. And now we'll see what Murillo is able to do on a hitter's pitch. Here's the kick in the delivery to Bonassi, and you'll watch it come down the whole way at 95 for strike number two. A big payoff pitch for Brandon Bonassi. Here's the 3-2 delivery, and it misses low and inside for ball four, and Bonassi we'll have another free pass down to first. He walked in the fifth inning, and he walked now in the seventh. And as he gets aboard, Marcelo Meyer will come to the plate with the bases loaded. But first, a visit from the Lynchburg Hillcats pitching coach and Kevin Ermolino. A 3-2 Salem Red Sox lead. They have not scored a run since the bottom of the second inning, though. That was a two-run frame by the Salem Red Sox. They jumped them out to a 3-1 lead. The only scoring we have seen since then was when the Hillcats picked up a run in the top of the sixth inning. And what an opportunity for Marcelo Meyer. You have Brian Gonzalez at third base, Keir Meredith at second base, and Albringer Bonassi at first base. Meyer is one of three today, as he doubled back in the first inning, and they had a couple of pop-ups for the left fielder of Isaiah Green in the second and in the fifth inning. For the Lynchburg Hillcats fans that are tuning on in today, first of all, congratulations on the win in game one of their doubleheader today against the Chicago White Sox. 7-4 victory at Guaranteed Rate Field. Game number two of that doubleheader underway right now. As the first pitch of Marcelo Meyer will go down the middle for a called strike number one off the fastball. Taking a look at it now, Columbus leads Toledo 1-0 in the top of the third inning as the 1-0 pitch to Meyer is just off the plate for ball number two. Meanwhile, in the AA level, Erie and Akron tied up at 3 apiece. Akron, Robert Ducks playing against a pretty good Erie Seawolves side as Meyer will take the pitch for strike number two. So one ball and two strikes for Marcelo Meyer. Apologies on when I said 2-0 count. It was a 1-1 count instead. 1-2 pitch to Meyer and just off the zone for ball number two. And then lastly at the high A level, the Lake County Captains are trailing Lansing 3-1. Single A team losing right now. 2-2 pitch to Meyer and he swings at the pitch in the dirt for strike number three. A 96-mile-per-hour fastball, and Meyer tried to bite on a heater that was heading low, but he could not make contact, and he's retired for the first time today at the plate with the strikeout. So now it's time for Blaze Jordan. Two outs in the inning, and he will watch the first pitch go down the middle for a called strike number one. Morillo, the pitcher in for the Lynchburg Hillcats, just firing away at mid-90s fastball. That one at 96 to start the at-bat. 0-1 pitch. Jordan pops this up. It might stay in the playing area for Victor Planchar. He comes back to the netting, and he makes the grab for out number three. And the Salem Red Sox strand the bases loaded in the bottom of the seventh inning, and they are not able to capitalize on a strong start to the inning and only lead 3-2. As we go into the eighth. A new pitcher into the game for the Salem Red Sox. It appears that Luis Guerrero is the new man in for the Red Sox. He will try to keep this a Salem Red Sox 3-2 advantage as we go into the eighth inning at Salem Memorial Ballpark. Welcome back to Salem Memorial Ballpark. It is the top of the eighth inning as the Salem Red Sox lead the Lynchburg Hillcats 3-2. Luis Guerrero, the new pitcher in for the Red Sox, and he'll start up against the middle of the order as Junior Sancantin will take the first pitch for a called strike number one. Well, Luis Guerrero, another late inning situation. Ever since he has been promoted from FCL Red Sox up to Salem, has been utilized in these late game situations. And Junior Sancantin will swing and miss for strike number two. So far tonight, the cleanup hitter for Lynchburg is 0-3. A strikeout and a pair of groundouts. The 0-2 pitch to Sancantin, a fastball that misses away at 95 for ball number one. Guerrero is 2-3 in his win-loss record this season. It's now his 13th appearance out of the bullpen for the Salem Red Sox. Here's the 1-2 pitch to Sancantin, chopper towards the right side, dive and attempt by Bonassi, but it gets underneath his glove out towards right field, and Sancantin in the leadoff spot in the eighth comes away with a base hit. Good power behind that grounder by Sancantin, and Bonassi showing a great effort at second base, leaping out and can't get the grounder to go his way. So Miller covering the bag at first as Day and Frias shows bunt on the first pitch, but it goes into the zone for strike number one regardless. A little bit more about what Luis Guerrero has done this season. He has 4 saves for the Salem Red Sox, 80% in his rate, which means he's had 5 save opportunities, and he has gotten 4 in those opportunities as Guerrero will fire an 0-1 pitch upstairs and inside for ball number one. So 1-1 count. Guerrero will kick and deliver. Frias showing a bunt again, but pulls back on a pitch that's into the zone where it called strike number two. 14 1/3 innings of work for Luis Guerrero this season, allowing 10 hits, 7 earned runs, walking 10 batters, and striking out 21 here in 2022. 1-2 pitch to Frias, and it skips low for ball two. Guerrero also has a great opponent's batting average of a 189 this year. But now it's a 2-2 count, and the leadoff batter and Junior Sancantin was able to convert with a base hit towards the right side to pick up the leadoff single. Now the count is even for Dan Frias. 2-2 pitch by Guerrero, and it's a fastball upstairs at 96 for ball three. Well, a weird weather element here in Salem. Looking off into the distance, you can kind of see some dark clouds, especially towards the right field side, but some sunlight has started to peep through here in the eighth. 3-2 pitch to Frias, and the slider misses low and inside for ball four, and Frias will walk on down to first as he is granted a free pass. So the leadoff runner is aboard now for the Lynchburg Hillcats, or should I just say the leading run in the contest, as the tying run of Sancantin moves to second base. So Wilfredo Antunes, the number six hitter in the order, who is 0-1 today, on a drop third strikeout, will watch the first pitch miss outside for ball number one. In his last 2 plate appearances, he has gotten a couple of walks. The first one issued by Encarnacion, the second one by Graham Hoffman. Miller and Jordan, the quarter infield, is creeping in as Antunes swings on a high heater and can't catch up to it for the strike one. The Salem Red Sox lead the Lynchburg Hillcats 3-2 at Salem Memorial Ballpark. With a win today, would set up a rubber match in tomorrow's series finale. 1-1 pitch, and this one's a slider that misses low for ball two. So we saw with the Lynchburg relief pitcher, Amarillo, just straight gas, see what you can try to hit the zone with, and Luis Guerrero, a very similar playbook. 2-1 pitch, another fastball, this one just away at 94. And the count is now a hitter's pitch for Antunes. And we have our mystery batter on deck for the Lynchburg Hillcats. 3-1 counts, and this is cranked down the right field side, and it will hook foul. It cleared the wall out at Salem Memorial Ballpark, but it was to the right of our Chick-fil-A foul pole. And you put that baseball about 20 to 25 feet to the left. It's a Lynchburg 5-3 lead. But instead, it's now a 3-2 pitch to Atunes. Guerrero fires, and the fastball is low for ball number four. Three straight walks by Atunes against three different pitchers of the Salem Red Sox. And each base is now occupied by a Hillcat runner. So Nick Green, the pitching coach for Salem, will jog out to talk with Guerrero, as well as Jose Garcia. So Junior Sancantin at third base, Dayon Frias at second base, and Wilfredo Atunes at first. Friendly reminder, no outs in the top of the eighth inning. The Salem Red Sox lead 3-2 over the Lynchburg Hillcats. But that one run advantage is surely in jeopardy. Look back a few minutes ago, the Salem Red Sox up 3-2 against Lynchburg, had the bases loaded with one out, could not convert a single run, and this flash forward to the next half inning, and Lynchburg is surely in a situation. A little bit of wind in the ballpark as Grail fires the first pitch into the zone for a called strike number one. It's number 33 of the Lynchburg Hillcats. And what an opportunity he has. Here's the 0-1 pitch, a swing and a miss for strike number two. We got an updated roster today, and this guy might be fresh out of Arizona to come out here to the Carolina League, as he will swing and miss for strike number three, and he's retired at the plate with three pitches in a row, three strikes, and Guerrero gets his first out of the night. What a recovery at bat by Guerrero. Once again, went with the fastball. Fresh into the game, Lynchburg's number 33 unable to connect on either one of those pitches. So now the stage is set for Victor Planchart, who will swing at the first pitch, a breaking ball, and he misses it all for strike number one. Well, remember, this bottom part of the order really ignited the Hillcats back in the second inning. It was Jordan Brown, Victor Planchart, and Yordaz Valdez, who all came through with some big base hits as Guerrero shows the heat, and Planchart will swing and miss for strike number two. Five straight strikes by Luis Guerrero. He looks like an entirely new pitcher out on the mound. Here's the 0-2 count. Guerrero fires. Planchart swings and misses. Back-to-back 1-2-3 punch-outs by Luis Guerrero. And all of a sudden, there are now two outs in the top of the eighth inning. And Yordaz Valdez is now at the plate. A single and two walks given up by Guerrero. And now back-to-back punch-outs. And a great way to start the at-bat against Valdez, with a delivery and an off-speed on the outside edge. A called strike number one, and now an 0-1 pitch by Guerrero. A swing and a miss for strike number two. What did Nick Green tell Luis Guerrero? We will never know, but it has been working so far for Salem's number six. Here's the 0-2 pitch just off the plate for ball number one. That was a streak of eight straight strikes from Luis Guerrero. Lynchburg still with an opportunity in the top of the eighth. The bases are loaded. There are two outs in a 3-2 ball game. Valdez slaps his fair down the first base side. Miller has it, and he touches first for out number three. What a job by Luis Guerrero to escape that jam in the top of the eighth inning. Three straight outs in a row, and it remains the Salem Red Sox 3, the Lynchburg Hillcats 2. One last chance for the Red Sox to build on their lead as we work to the bottom of the eighth inning at Salem. welcome you back to Salem Memorial Ballpark. It is the bottom of the eighth inning, and a new pitcher is into the game for the Hillcats. It's Franco Almond of the Hillcats, and he will go up against Tyler Miller, Eduardo Lopez, and Gilberto Mexicano. First pitch fired by Almond. A fastball that misses inside for ball number one. Well, Franco Almond used to be a starting pitcher for the Lynchburg Hillcats, but he just never really catched a groove as a starter in the rotation as he fires a 1-0 pitch upstairs for ball number two. A 1-7 win-loss record. He is now making his fourth appearance out of the bullpen for Lynchburg this year. 2-0 pitch to Miller, and the fastball misses low for ball number three. An 8.03 ERA in his 37 innings of work. He's allowed 52 hits and 33 earned runs. 3-0 count. Almond steps in, and the fastball misses inside for ball number four. So Miller gets aboard for the first time since the first inning with a leadoff walk. And Almond actually isn't bad at walking batters. That's only the 15th walk batter he has given up this year. And he has struck out 47, so that's greater than a 3-1 ratio. But the opponent's batting average is a 323. So when the bats get moving for the opposition, it starts to rack up against Almond. So Miller gets on with the leadoff walk, and now it's time for Eduardo Lopez. But first, a look over at first base as a tag was not made by junior San Cantin as Miller slides in safe. Lopez has a 1-3 night. He picked up a single in the third inning and has a pair of ground outs so far today. Here's the first pitch of the at-bat, and it's a fastball misses away for ball number one. 3-2 score in the bottom of the eighth inning here at Salem Memorial Ballpark. It's been another close battle between these two rivals in the Carolina League. A 1-0 pitch on the way to Lopez, and it's a breaker that drops into the zone for a called strike number one. Almond is one of the taller pitchers on this Lynchburg staff. Staying around 6'7" for this Lynchburg side. Here's the 1-1 pitch, and Lopez fouls his back into the screen, and the count will drop to 1-2. So some cloudy conditions in the area, but we have stayed dry the whole way through. And now I'm trying to find the nearest wood to my seat here to knock on it. 1-2 count to Lopez, and the breaking ball gets him looking on a called strike number three, and Lopez is retired at the plate for the inning's first out. So Miller's still at first base for the Salem Red Sox, as we'll get this opportunity to look around the Carolina League and look at some scores that have happened. And one game has already gone final. The Carolina Mudcats have defeated the Downeast Ducks 3-1. Miller at first base, and St. Quentin is protecting the bag, but Almond will fire a first pitch fastball at 94 miles per hour to be called strike number one. Mexicano 0-3 tonight, still seeking that first base hit of the series. It's been a tough start for Salem's number 13, 0-7 this week, as he will check swing on a pitch that misses low and away. A slider to be exact by Almond, and Mexicano did not bite the bait. Other games to keep an eye on, Augusta has stormed back. They lead Columbia 5-3, while Myrtle Beach up 7-3 against Charleston. And that battle between two teams on the cusp of 60 overall wins, as Mexicano will stand strong and not bite on another off-speed pitch for ball number two. A 2-1 count for Gilberto Mexicano. Ryan Gonzalez on deck for the Salem Red Sox. Tyler Miller at first base after that leadoff walk. Red Sox offense has not scored since the bottom of the second inning. 2-1 pitch. Mexicano will be jammed up as he pops this one to the left side, and Valdez will get right underneath of it to make the catch for out number two. So now it is time for Brian Gonzalez, a 2-3 night. where he picked up a double in the second inning. But if you guys remember way back when, it was a throwing error committed by Antunes, the center fielder for the Lynchburg Hillcats, and Gonzalez was able to score all the way around the base paths as Gonzalez will swing and foul tip the first pitch into the netting for strike number one. He picked up a single later in the contest in his most recent at-bat when he led off the seventh inning. Two more scores to get you caught up on. It's a 3-0 leads in both the matchups. Fayetteville leading Kannapolis 3-0 in the top of the fifth inning, and Fredericksburg up 3-0 on Delmarva in the top of the fourth. As Miller takes off, pitch in the zone for strike number two. The tag at second, not in time. Tyler Miller with a stolen base. And another battle between Fox and Miller at second pays off for the Salem Red Sox infielder. As Miller slides in and Fox tried to tag Miller at the leg area. But Miller was just too quick into the bag with that right hand. So now Gonzalez down 0-2 in the count. And he has got a runner in scoring position. Here's the 0-2 pitch. Gonzalez check swing on a pitch upstairs for ball number one. 3-2 Salem lead. They lead the run category by one, as well as the hit category. 8 hits for Salem tonight, 7 for Lynchburg. A 1-2 count as Amlin steps in, and Gonzalez will foul this down the right side. And it will go into the Lynchburg dugout. What I think it rolls right by our camera person, right by the Lynchburg Hillcats dugout. Staying strong in there, giving us great views from that first base side. Aleman will step off the mound, and I think it's truly remarkable what Lynchburg has done with Franco Aleman. They, instead of sending them down a level, they just said, let's utilize you in a new way. Let's bring you into this game in late time situations, and he might be able to get a big inning here. 1-2 pitch, a fastball upstairs at 95 miles per hour, and Gonzalez holds as the count goes to 2-2. If this inning was able to be continued, Jose Garcia is on deck for the Salem Red Sox. As Aleman will set on the rubber. Here comes the 2-2 pitch, and Gonzalez will foul tip into the glove of Victor Blanchard for strike number three. And Gonzalez is retired. One base runner is stranded by Salem in the bottom of the eighth inning. And so we go to the top of the ninth with a 3-2 Salem Red Sox lead over the Lynchburg Hillcats. It appears that Luis Guerrero will get the ball in hand, and he will go up against the top of the order when we come back at Salem Memorial Ballpark. Welcome back to Salem Memorial Ballpark, top of the ninth inning. The Salem Red Sox lead the Lynchburg Hillcats 3-2 as Jake Fox will check swing on the first pitch for ball number one. So here we go, folks. Last chance for the Lynchburg Hillcats to tie up this ball game and send us to the bottom of the ninth inning and possibly extras, as Fox will pop up the 1-0 pitch deep to left center field, and Lopez back to the track makes the grab for out number one. Fox, who started off the night with a double back in the first inning, has been quiet ever since. That's now four consecutive at-bats that the leadoff man in the order has been retired. But Jorge Burgos has gone the other way. After starting off with three straight retirements at the plate, he picked up a double in his last at-bat as he swings through on the 97-mile-per-hour fastball for strike number one. Guerrero showcasing the heat as Burgos with a chop ball to Marcelo Meyer, glove side, step in and throw to Miller. It's in time for out number two. Two up and two down for Luis Guerrero and the Salem Red Sox. And it's been crazy to see the transformation of Luis Guerrero in this game alone, after giving up a leadoff hit to Junior Sancantin and back-to-back walks to Frias and Antunes. He has retired five straight Lynchburg batters, but he's got one more to go in Isaiah Green, who will swing and foul tip the first ball for strike number one. Green is pretty much due at this point. A great player for this Cleveland Guardians organization. Is 0-3 tonight. Last two at-bats, he has gone down swinging. 0-1 pitch sends this down the left field side and into the seats it goes for strike number two. 98 miles per hour was that last pitch by Guerrero. One of the fastest we have seen this year. 0-2 count. The Hillcats are down to the last strike. Hit towards the left side, and Jordan makes the catch for out number three. And that will do it. Out number three. Out number 27. And the Salem Red Sox strike back as they take down the Lynchburg Hillcats 3-2 on this Saturday night. The early offense by Salem got them going with an early lead, and they withstood any late comeback from the Hillcats in the late going of the matchup. Our player of the game today is Brian Gonzalez, a 2-of-3 day. Although he did not get the inside the park home run, he got the double inside the facility and scored on the air to make that the Salem Red Sox 2-1 lead. He ends 2-of-4 on the night, and the Salem right fielder has another big night for the Salem Red Sox side. With this win, the Red Sox improved to 47-42 on the year, while the Hillcats drop back below 500 with a 44-45 record. For the second half records, the Salem Red Sox team is back above 500 with a 12-11 mark, and the Hillcats are down to 9-14 on the season. Meanwhile, for the season series matchup, at least the Salem Red Sox can say they have at least a share against the Lynchburg Hillcats. In the 23 battles that have been played together so far, the Salem Red Sox have won 12 of them, and the Hillcats have won 11. And it all comes down for game number 24 tomorrow between these two sides. But first, a look back at the highlights today. It all got started with some early offense by the Hillcats, but Juan Encarnacion was able to find his groove on the mound, and then Blaze Jordan finds a left center gap to score Marcelo Meyer, and Salem strikes first once again in the matchup. And then it was the weirdest play of the night. Brian Gonzalez with a routine double out towards left center field, but watch the throw. Whoa, that wasn't what it was supposed to happen. Gonzalez takes off from second, continues his trek around the base paths, and it scores from home. It gave that Salem Red Sox side a 2-1 lead, and then Brainer Bonassi later in the frame finds the space in the middle of the infield to score Jose Garcia and gave the Red Sox that 3-1 lead. And plays like this helped the Red Sox all day long, deflected off the glove of Miller to Bonassi, and still would make a play on through. And then Graham Hoffman out of the bullpen looking sharp as if ever. And here's another time for Hoffman as this one gets away from Jose Garcia, and Dayan Frias scores on the wild pitch. But then Luis Guerrero found his stride as Junior Sancantin started things going in the eighth inning with a single down the side. But then Guerrero came alive in the later stages of the inning. Strikeout there, another strikeout there, and how about one more as well? But as Yordan Valdez grounded out to Tyler Miller to end off the inning, and then Luis Guerrero came in to get the job done as Blaze Jordan makes a catch on the line drive for out number three. And the Salem Red Sox on Grateful Dead night take the victory 3-2 over the Lynchburg Hillcats. And so now we are tied up at one game apiece in this three-game series, and we'll have the series finale and the regular season finale between these two sides tomorrow night right here at Salem Memorial Ballpark. 5:05 p.m., first pitch between these two sides. Make sure to come on out towards the ballpark, but if not, you know where to find us right here on the Salem Red Sox website and, of course, on MILB.TV. My name is Andy Losey. Thank you so much for spending your Saturday night with us here at Salem Memorial Ballpark as the Red Sox defeat their 460 rivals, the Lynchburg Hillcats, 3-2. Have a great night, and we'll talk to you tomorrow from Salem, Virginia.